Chapter 14. Shield of Lies. Titan. Obey or perish. Damp drifts of methane slush cushioned their fall, allowing Garrow and Tallery to make their way along the service course beneath the monorail platforms at the wide base of the fortress. Staring up through the gridded metal decking, they had a perfect view of the carriages as bipedal walker mechs, driven by gas-masked workers, unloaded their cargo. "You must take in all that you see here, Scribe," he told her. "Study everything. Omit nothing. That eidetic memory of yours will serve as witness." She nodded, but with little confidence. "What good are my memories if I perish before I can recollect them?" "You will survive, Tallery. You are the mission now. I will do everything in my power to see you to safety. The truth behind Othrys must be made known." Something slow and heavy darkened the low clouds as it descended from the sky, and presently a wallowing iron barge fell towards the citadel on spears of retrothrust. At first, the legionary thought it was another cargo vessel, but Tallery corrected him.
"It's not a freighter. I recognize the configuration. This is a Medicaid transport. A mercy ship."
The warrior frowned, watching as the great craft settled into a landing cradle extending out from the sheer walls of the citadel. As the sound of the thrusters faded, hatches clanged open all along its flanks. Instead of supplies, weapons, or materiel, the new arrival deposited men. Garrow's enhanced sight allowed him to pick out lines of injured soldiers, some being helped along by their comrades. The faces were recognizable to him. Although he did not know these men, he knew their kind. The war wounded. Garrow had seen such men alongside him in battle on many worlds during the Great Crusade, or in the halls of his legion amongst the neophytes. Warriors all, but young with it, and still untested even though the fires of their martial fury burned bright. It made no sense to see such men here. "Each time I think I have some grasp upon this mystery, another twist reveals itself." The scribe agreed.
"This place is no hospice."
But as she said the words, an answer began to form in Garrow's mind, creeping into his thoughts like the cold wind over his flesh. Upon the hull of the mercy ship, he saw the heraldry of a world that he knew. Myrtiol. Lost now, so the astropaths reported. Lost to the warp storms and the iron grasp of the Warmaster, its cities burning and its people subjugated. Only a handful of ships had managed to flee the colony before Horus's war fleet blackened Myrtiol's skies, and the question before Garrow was now why this loyalist craft had fallen into the grip of Othrys, and not returned to safe harbour along with all the other refugees. That cold understanding crystallized with a jolt. "Those men are all dead." Tallery gave him a curious look, and he went on. "Their names will have been struck from record, their ship listed as missing in the void. I think I understand. They will be healed, and then given purpose anew. Do you comprehend? The army of Othrys will be made of ghosts." The scribe rounded on him, her eyes wide behind the visor of her breather mask as terror took hold.
"How much more do we need to see? You have brought us to some misbegotten ball of black ice and poisoned skies, a place crawling with Mechanicum renegades. We have no means of escape, no way to call for help. You've doomed us both, and damn you if you tell me to have courage."
She tensed, as if she wanted to run, but both of them knew there was nowhere to flee to. Garrow gave a solemn nod in return. "We will both be damned if we do not finish what you began back on Riga. The Imperium must know of this place, this hidden outpost at the heart of a web of secrets. Othrys cannot be allowed to exist."
"We'll need a ship," panted Tallery. "Something a lot faster than that barge."
He drew his bolt pistol. "Follow me." Tallery moved as quickly as she could in Garrow's wake, but it was difficult to keep up with him. Even in the bulk of his unadorned slate-grey battle armour, the legionary was more nimble than she could have hoped to be. He made it look effortless, and he moved without fear or doubt. The scribe had worked hard to keep her panic sealed tight, drawing on her own inner strength, but it was challenging. She was so far outside her experience in this that it was beyond reason. Gaetano Tallery had been trained to be a calculator of numbers, a hand to compute figures and settle accounts. She was no spy, no agent of war, and yet Garrow's single-minded determination had made her into that for the duration of this desperate mission. All at once she resented him for it, even as she knew that he was the only thing keeping her alive. So she did her best to keep pace. Following the circumference of the citadel tower, they came to a huge elevator at the foot of the fortress. Cylindrical conveyor platforms, as big as the monorail carriage they had ridden, were moving up and down the length of the tower, carrying equipment and supplies to the upper levels. She watched them passing each other as they rose and fell in a complex ballet. Their motion reminded Tallery of the pneumatic vacuum tubes in the offices on Riga, where capsules containing sealed papers would jet away to the curator's chambers.
"Why are we here?" she asked.
"Look up," said Garrow. He indicated a circular landing stage halfway up the great length of the unfinished fortress. Growing out from the sheer rock of the tower, like a disk of fungus from a tree trunk, the platform seemed small and insignificant. It was easily half a kilometre above ground level. "That is our way out," he explained. Tallery's throat was dry.
"Shouldn't we be moving away from the centre of activity? I am not a tactician, but what you suggest seems contrary to good sense."
He smiled to himself. "Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have a choice, scribe." Garrow almost seemed to be enjoying their dire circumstances, but Tallery could only feel bitter about them.
"Yes, it seems my life is doomed to follow a path determined by everything but my will."
She pulled her robes close, shaking off the oily rainfall.
"Believing in the Lectitio, that is the only choice I have ever made for myself. And see where it has led me."
A shadow passed over the warrior's face, and strangely, Tallery felt an unbidden pang of sorrow for him.
"That is the way of fate," he told her. "It takes us, makes us into what the universe needs us to be, not what we want to be."
Then he shook off his own grim words with a turn of the head, returning to the matter at hand.
"We need to take control of a conveyor to reach the landing platform without attracting attention, and for that I require a distraction."
He studied her intently, and fear crawled along the length of Tallery's spine as she realized what he was asking of her. The scribe walked slowly towards one of the static conveyors, her hands raised, and her robe open to show that she concealed no weapons and posed no threat. She cleared her throat and managed a few words.
Hello?
At the embarkation ramp, a number of Skitari, the heavily augmented foot soldiers of the Mechanicum, paused in their patrol pattern and turned their cold gaze upon her. With their bionic implants, cyber weapons, and dermal armor, the Skitari were formidable. Each had a steely limb with a built-in lasgun, and as she came closer, they moved to put her in their sights.
"Halt," came the demand. "Identify yourself."
Beneath their crimson hoods, what Tallery had first thought to be breather masks like her own were revealed, on closer inspection, to be surgically altered human flesh. Eyes had been replaced with bulbous optical sensors and twitching antennae, mouths and noses permanently sealed behind featureless grills fed by throbbing oxygen pipes. Unlike the servitors she knew from Riga, these man-machine hybrids moved with a quick economy of motion, exuding a sense of threat. She began her performance.
I require your assistance."
"This site is restricted," responded a second guardian. "You are an intruder."
"Quite so, yes."
Tallery made a point of being as affable in tone and as harmless in aspect as possible.
"That's why I'm surrendering, of course."
"Restrain her," said the other Skitari,
and the two cyborgs closest to her approached. Steel talons extended to clamp around Tallery's arm, and she was shoved towards the waiting conveyor car, the humming muzzle of a charged lasgun pressed into her back. She cast around desperately, her heart thudding in her chest. The scribe saw no sign of Garrow in any direction, and for a terrible moment she was afraid that he had abandoned her. The Skitari released its grip and pushed her over the lip of the ramp, into the cavernous space of the carriage. As the soldier kept a bead on her, the second Skitari yanked the heavy control lever. Rising on a thick chain drive, each link as tall as a man, the conveyor slowly climbed away from the loading deck. Peering out over the open edge of the platform, Tallery watched the ground fall away, and she experienced a flash of sickly recollection, remembering the heart-stopping instant that she fell from the ledge on Riga.
"Not again."
"Do not speak," growled the cyborg.
Tallery looked away and glimpsed movement from the corner of her eye. A hunter. A shadow.
I'm afraid I must, she continued, digging deep to draw on her courage. How else would I be able to distract you?
The Skitarii began to demand that she explain herself. Light rippled behind the cyborg soldier, and with a flourish the falsehood snapped off, revealing the towering form of the legionary beneath the metallic camo cloak. What came next happened almost too fast for Tallery to follow. Garrow surged forwards and grabbed the two Skitarii about their throats. With a violent jerk, he slammed them together, cracking their augmented skulls against one another with enough force to break bone and splinter steel. They rebounded to the deck in broken heaps. One had perished instantly, but the other still possessed some animation and crawled away, jetting sparks and leaking vital fluids. She called out to Garrow as the machine buzzed a warning to its comrades, but the warrior was already upon it for the killing blow, and he smashed it into the deck with the weight of his heavy boot.
"More resilient than they look," he muttered.
The Skitarii were dead then, but already a distant bell sounded an alert. Tallery gasped. Their escape attempt had only just begun, and it was in danger of ending prematurely. Garrow accepted this new challenge with dour stoicism that was almost frustrating. "So much for stealth," he told her. "It never was my strong suit." He reached down and snapped off one of the dead Skitarii's cyber limbs as easily as the scribe might have broken a twig, ripping the implanted lasgun free from its mounting. He offered it to Tallery. "Take this." The weapon sat uneasily in her hands, wet with processor fluids. Her fingers found a trigger matrix and tentatively probed it.
"I have not been trained for use of firearms," she stuttered.
"Then learn quickly," said Garrow. "The Emperor protects those who protect themselves." Tallery dared to steal a glance over the edge and saw a dozen more Skitarii soldiers staring back up at her. A second conveyor carriage was rising up from the lower levels, moving to match the climb of their own. Las bolts cut at the air around her, and she recoiled.
"They're coming after us, and a lot more of them than I would wish."
"Good." Garrow's sword glittered as he drew it. "I have had my fill of skulking in shadows." Tallery did not share his hunger for battle, and told him so in no uncertain terms. He cocked his head. "Fortunate for you, then, that one legionary is worth 1,000 common soldiers." The second platform pulled level with their ascent, and as one, the Skitarii troops leapt across the gap, hydraulic pistons in their legs propelling them up and over. Garrow snarled and raised his bolt pistol, killing three of them with center-mass shots before they passed the apex of their leaps. The rest landed hard upon the deck and came up with claws and weapons deployed. Tallery found cover behind a control panel, las beams slicing through the air around her. Hot droplets of superheated metal seared her robes as near hits gouged scars in the platform. She fired back blindly, pointing her salvaged lasgun towards the sounds of battle, too afraid to raise her head above the console for fear of losing it. Garrow waded into the engagement with his weapons high. Libertas sang as it cut down any attacker who came within reach of the sword's edge, cold power flashing down the length of the blade. The legionary's bolt pistol barked, mass reactive shells finding their targets and blasting them apart. Slow to anger, but strong in his fury, the warrior fell easily into the familiar mindset of battle. This was where he was at his best, engaged in death-dealing with a perfect, lethal precision. He fought without fanfare or great displays of martial flourish. It was his way, and the manner in which he had been trained. Once a death guard, always a death guard, Garrow took to combat as the necessary means through which right was maintained. There was no glory in this, merely duty. Glory was something he had left behind, burned away in the ashes of his forgotten brotherhood. He was only a defender now, a crusader no more. Shots deflecting off the ceramite of his battleplate, Garrow spun away as a concentrated salvo of beam fire burned across the platform. Stray lasbolts ripped through the conveyor's drive mechanism and, with a sickening jolt, the carriage shuddered on its supports. He felt more than heard the metallic shriek that ran through the deck. "Tallery, the chain drive has been hit!" The scribe burst from cover as the platform canted sharply beneath their feet.
"We're going to fall," she cried.
He shook his head.
"No, to me, now."
With a backhand blow, Garrow knocked a Skitarii gunman aside and bounded across the deck to Tallery, even as his boots began to lose their grip. Holstering his weapons, he swept the scribe off her feet, and before she could protest, he hurled her across the gap between the moving conveyors and to relative safety. Her scream streaming through the air, Tallery landed in a heap on the other platform. Then Garrow broke into a headlong sprint to follow her across, but the angle of the deck was already tilted too far, the gap widening with every second. A bulky three-limbed Skitarii tried and failed to grab at him as it slipped past and fell away into the smoky air. The legionary sprinted and leapt, his arms extended towards the lip of the far platform. Encumbered by the weight of his armor and his weapons, it was almost too far for him to reach, but Garrow's gauntlets barely caught the edge, and he held fast. Behind him, the other carriage broke away and surrendered itself to gravity's embrace.
"Intruder!" grated a crackling vocoder. "Intruder detected!"
Garrow was still in the process of dragging himself up when another Skitarii came out of nowhere across the platform, training its implanted lasgun on Garrow's head. One shot would blast him off the edge and send him spiraling down into the wreckage far below. Crimson light flashed close and bright. Air crackled along the path of a lasbolt, but the killing shot was not for Garrow. With a grunt of effort, he hauled himself up and found the scribe standing over the dead soldier, a smoking weapon in her trembling hands.
Did I kill it? She breathed.
He turned her away from the dead cyborg.
We live. That is all that matters.
The chill breeze that pulled at Tallery's robes at ground level was a howling gale atop the landing stage, and the scribe gathered in her ragged hood to capture any warmth she could retain. Despite whatever attempts there had been to terraform the environment of this desolate planetoid, the noxious atmosphere, the deep cold, and the poisoned snow were all hostile to anyone without a heavily augmented physiology. It was getting harder to breathe here, even with the mask clasped over her nose and mouth. Following Garrow off the elevator ramp, she could not stop herself from throwing a last look back at the corpse of the Skitarii she had shot. An ugly burn wound in the warrior's back showed where the bolt from the lasgun had hit, melting flesh and plasteel into a blackened slurry. What struck her was how swift the death had been. Alive one instant, ended the next. Was that how Curator Londe had perished, she wondered. Had there been time to see the end coming? Time to understand and make peace with it? Tallery had dealt in life and death many times, through records of births in Riga's sprawling habitat blocks, to lists of casualties on battlefields across the Imperium. But those had always been abstract things, numbers on a chart, ones and zeros. From this day on, she knew that she would never see them that way again. Scribe, Garrow called to her. She turned away and went to the warrior's side. A winged combat dropship stood before him, crouched on one of the landing pads like a sleeping hawk. This Stormbird is fully fueled, he explained. We will take it.
You do know how to fly this craft.
He gave a worryingly vague shrug. I can get us into the void. From there, we will have to send a distress call on fleet channels and... Garrow's words died in his throat, and Tallery saw him tense.
My lord, what's wrong?
His eyes narrowed, and his next words were so softly spoken she almost didn't hear.
Damn them.
Unbidden, the Stormbird's drop ramp fell open, revealing a dozen shadowy forms within. Too late, Tallery realized what the legionary already had, that they had delivered themselves into the jaws of a trap. A cohort of heavily armored Mechanicum Praetorians advanced from the dropship's cargo bay. The machine hybrids bristled with heavy weapons, each of them moving on a caterpillar drive chassis that resembled the hull of a battle tank. They were more than a match for a lone space marine, and the maws of their plasma cannons and hell guns targeted the pair of them, never wavering. Tallery sensed movement behind them and spun about. From out of the shadows came more soldiers, blocking off any escape route. But these new arrivals were not of the Mechanicum's red-cloaked tech guard. Tallery felt a chilling sense of recognition run through her as she saw the color of the carapace armor worn by the troopers. It was a stormy shade of gray, bereft of any symbols denoting unit, command, or allegiance. Garrow saw it too, a question flickering behind those kind eyes of his before he locked it away. He raised his sword into a guard stance, his open hand dropping to the grip of his pistol.
I am sorry, Catano, but it seems I will not be able to keep my vow. To you, or to myself. I did not wish to bring you to such an end.
A terrible inevitability settled upon her.
We are going to die here.
That seems a likely outcome, said Garrow,
and he stepped forwards and stared into the guns arrayed against him, glaring with defiance.
Take your shot, if you will, he bellowed. We shall see how many of you follow me into darkness.
Tallery tensed, waiting for the first shriek of a lasblast, the first thunder of boltfire. She heard nothing but the howl of the wind. Then the soldiers put up their guns, and a grating voice issued out of the chest of the leading Praetorian.
Battle Captain Garrow, put up your weapons. You and the scribe will come with us.
He faced the lethal machine slave without fear.
Why should we obey? Our master would speak with you, it told him.
Flanked by the human troopers and the Praetorians, Garrow and Tallery were escorted in silence to the uppermost level of the unfinished citadel. They emerged into a wide circular chamber that resembled the dueling arenas of a legion training ground. Above them, the roof was a dome made from huge triangular pieces of glass. The churning amber sky rolled over it, propelled by the constant winds. Ahead of them, in the center of the chamber, a raised dais of black marble glittered with reflected light. Garrow spied an ill-defined shape beneath a dark cloak standing atop it. A hooded figure turned away from them. An aura of cold fury seemed to emanate from the figure, chilling the legionary even through his power armor. The air around him felt waxy and full of static, as though it were being held in check by some powerful force. A creeping sense of foreboding gripped Garrow's heart, and he chanced to look towards Tallery. The scribe had removed her breather mask, and her eyes were wide with fear. But she held her terror under control. He gave her a nod that he hoped she would find reassuring, but in truth, the warrior's own mind was in turmoil as a sinister and potent possibility rose to the fore. He knew then what he would see beneath that dark mantle. The figure turned slowly, its face lost in shadow. Gripped in one gnarled hand, a long staff of black iron came out of the dimness and sent an echoing crack of noise as it tapped the marble. Firelight from plasmatic flames illuminated the space around the dais, spilling from a narrow steel basket atop the staff. In those flames sat a golden eagle, an inscribed lynx hung in chains about its talons. Garrow knew the staff as he knew the man who wielded it. The hood dropped back, and the old but ageless face of Malkador the Sigilite stared down at them, displeasure written clearly upon it. Unable to resist the indoctrination that had been bred into her since birth, the scribe dropped to her knees in supplication. She bowed her head, and the Skitari did the same, showing fealty to the man who stood second only to the Emperor of Mankind. The First Lord of the Council and Regent of Terra, and the master that Nathaniel Garrow had sworn to obey. But, despite every impulse in his flesh to do so, the legionary did not kneel. The question that burned in his breast overshadowed all other compulsions.
How are you here? I am everywhere and nowhere, Garrow, Malkador intoned. This place belongs to me.
His words were low and weighty with reproach.
You should not have come. You are not ready to see this. The preparations are incomplete.
Are you a traitor?
Garrow blurted out the demand, desperately trying to square what he had learned from Tallery with the reality now before him. The hooded figure allowed a grim chuckle to escape his thin lips.
Open your eyes. You know what I am. The Sigilite is the Emperor's right hand. To betray him would be impossible.
Horus Lupercal might once have said the same.
Malkador's eyes flashed, and his face darkened. When he replied, it was with a chilling ferocity that cut Garrow to his bones.
Never compare me to the arch-traitor. I will burn your mind if you speak those words again.
He gestured with one hand.
Kneel, Nathaniel. Obey me.
The legionary shook his head wildly.
Not until you explain all. This!
Garrow cast around, gesturing at the walls, the Praetorians and the troopers in grey.
I told you to kneel!
The Sigilite glared at him, and Garrow lost control of his legs. In a heartbeat he was down on his knees, his great strength as nothing to the telepathic force pressing him to obey. Locked in place inside his own armor, he could only turn his head to hold the other man's baleful gaze, even as he knew that it had taken a mere fraction of Malkador's monumental psionic power to humble him.
I am the keeper of the secret of Arthris, the secret you were so eager to know, said the Sigilite. So, turn your sight to the skies, then. See where your blind path has brought you."
Garrow looked up, and saw Tallery daring to do the same. Out past the great dome, the sea of orange cloud thinned, as though some unnatural force were reaching out to part the veil. Black night sky beyond the planetoid's atmosphere was suddenly revealed, and there, hanging in the darkness like some shimmering jewel, lay a familiar gas giant world haloed by gossamer rings.
"Saturn," whispered Tallery.
"Then we stand upon the Titan moon, yes," Malkador answered for him. "Did you think it to be some distant death world beyond the pale?"
Garrow struggled to process what he was seeing.
"This makes no sense. If what you are building here is in service to the Emperor and the Imperium, why hide it behind this shield of lies? Why seek to silence anyone who learns of it?"
The Sigilite's dark eyes burned into him like starfire.
"You question me." "I do." It took all of Garrow's effort to hold that gaze. "This fortress citadel and the complex beneath it, it can be for only one intention. The creation and training of a new Space Marine Legion."
"Only the Emperor himself may grant life to the Legiones Astartes,"
whispered Tallery, as if the thought itself was some kind of blasphemy.
"Does he know you are doing this, Malkador?"
Garrow pressed on, too far past the point of no return to turn back.
"Does the Emperor know what you do in his name?" "My master."
The Sigilite's deathly stare lessened as he considered the question.
"He has his great tasks to occupy him. And I have mine."
Part of Catano Tallery wanted to close herself off in the depths of her mind and wait for the inevitable end to come. But another, ever-inquisitive shard of her could not look away from the great Psyker Lord. She could not meet her end without knowing the truth.
"Are these secrets worth my life?"
Tallery forced out the words.
"And Curator Lon's?"
Malkador gave her a cold, indulgent look.
"My dear scribe, the answer is yes. 100,000 times over, yes. For the greater good of our Imperium."
At her side, Garrow struggled to bring his fist to his chest plate.
"This is not enough, then. My strength? That of Rubio, Ison, Loken, Varan, Galor, and all the others? It is not enough for you to have your agents at large in the galaxy. Now you must have an army."
The litany of names meant nothing to Tallery, but they deepened the dark shadows over Malkador's face.
"You are my Agentia Primus, Nathaniel,"
he told the legionary,
"but what I forge here will not be for me. A handful of knights errant are not enough. Not for the coming war."
And now the scribe grasped a new measure of understanding, one so great that it made her feel hollow inside.
"You're not just talking about the War Master's Rebellion, are you, Lord Regent? You mean something else. Something worse."
The Sigilite raised an eyebrow.
"She has insight, this one. I see now why she has caused such problems."
With his iron staff tapping out each pace, Malkador stepped down from the dais and advanced towards them.
"Nathaniel has seen the dangers that lie beyond the edge of reason. He has fought them face to face. I have looked into that darkness, divining the myriad skeins of futures yet to be, the things that Horus has allied himself to. These otherworldly and demonic things, they will threaten humankind for millennia to come."
He eyed her.
"I know this in my blood. So, we must be prepared for the war that will come after this one. A war that will be for our very souls."
"And this is to be where those defenders are forged," she said. "Othrys."
Malkador nodded once.
"In the old tongues, the name means the home of the Titans. The symbolism of it seemed fitting."
The Sigilite turned his back on Tallery and moved to Garrow's side, removing the warrior's sword from its scabbard.
"Do you see now?"
he asked the question as he examined the giant's blade, and Tallery knew no common man would have been able to lift it.
"These preparations must be made in secret, not only to conceal them from the eyes of Horus and his allies, but from our own people. From an Imperium that is not yet ready to accept the truth of what horrors lurk in the warp.
Am I wrong, Nathaniel?
After a long moment, Garrow gave a reluctant nod.
No, Lord Regent. You are not wrong.
With a tilt of his head, the Psyker relaxed the telepathic grip he held on Garrow, and the warrior was released. Malkador turned Libertas in his hand and offered him the weapon's hilt.
These secrets can only be kept by those of unflinching courage, through sacrifice and the shedding of blood. Because of an insignificant error, because of pure happenstance, Scribe Adepta Tallarid learned something she should never have known.
Desperation fluttered against the inside of Tallarid's chest.
I am loyal, she said, beseechingly. I will never speak of this. I swear it on the throne of Terra, and in the Emperor's name.
The Sigilite went on as if she had never spoken.
She cannot live with this knowledge. Even the most loyal can be suborned. Even those who never speak can have their secrets torn from them by arcane means. Only the dead cannot vouchsafe the truth.
He held up the hilt before Garrow.
Take the sword, Nathaniel. I am not cruel. Make it swift and without pain.
The warrior hesitated, eyeing the weapon, and the scribe felt the blood drain from her face.
He tests me, Tallery, said Garrow. I defied him by taking my leave to Riga without his permission. I have stepped outside the bounds of his orders in days past. So now he tests me with this, to see if I will still obey. It must be done. Even the scribe herself knows that.
Malkador glanced at her, and in an instant her thoughts became his, stripped bare so that the Sigilite could be sure of her.
She is truly loyal. She will not resist.
The bleak truth was that Malkador did not lie. Tallery was willing to die in the Emperor's name, in the service of something greater than herself. Garrow's response took another path, however.
I regret that I must refuse your command, Lord Regent.
Malkador's eyes locked with Garrow's, and his baleful stare was terrible to behold.
I have only to think it, and her heart will stop.
The legionary nodded.
Then it will be you who murders an innocent. You that takes the life of a faithful subject of the Emperor, who has done no wrong, who has committed no crime but to serve the Imperium.
He drew himself up.
And if that is your choice, then end me into the bargain. For I do not wish to be party to such choices as an arch-traitor would make. What other choice is there?
Hissed the Sigilite. Garrow glanced at Tallery, and she drew strength from him. He looked away, once more matching the Sigilite's gaze without flinching.
You said it yourself, my lord. The scribe has insight. I can attest to that, and to her courage and fidelity. So why not use those talents? Make her part of what is done here. Bring her into the circle.
The scribe dared to hope as Garrow's impassioned plea for her life went on.
Tallery was clever enough to find a flaw in the security of Othrys, from the other side of the solar system. She could solve that for you and seek out any other weaknesses that might yet be unknown.
Tallery held her breath, knowing that her life hung in the balance. Closing her eyes, she knew also what she needed to do. Her fingers found the golden aquila about her wrist and gripped it tightly.
The Emperor protects, she whispered. The Emperor protects.
Garrow held the sword at eye level and sighted down the length of the blade. There were no nicks in its edge, no discolorations in the metal. It seemed perfect, as if it had been newly forged that day. And yet, the weapon had lived for centuries in various forms, and been soaked in the blood of many souls long dead. He comforted himself in knowing that no innocence had fallen to the blade while he had been its master. Returning the weapon to its scabbard, he turned to watch a stormbird on a nearby landing pad as the flight crew prepared it for departure. It would take him away from Titan, not back to Terra, but towards his next mission under the Sigilite's command. The thought of that brought a frown to him, and he felt a bleak mood gathering on the horizon. He heard footsteps approaching across the platform and turned about to see a pale face peering up at him.
Legionary.
Tallery looked very different in her new robes and finery. A million miles away from the fatigued, terrified woman he had first laid eyes on in Riga.
Captain Garrow, I should say.
Did you intend to leave without saying farewell? He gave a shallow bow, making the sign of the Aquila across his chest.
I did not wish to interrupt your new duties, scribe.
He paused, recalling her new rank and status.
Forgive me. Curator Adepta Primus, Tallery.
She showed a brief smile.
The title seems a strange fit to me, and so does my life, if that makes any sense. Everything is different now.
It will never be the same, he agreed. I know whereof I speak. After Istvan, after the flight of the Eisenstein, I felt the same way.
Changed?
Yes.
And for the worse as well as the better. She seemed uncertain of his meaning, and he went on.
You will learn more in the days to come, Tallery. Terrible things. And there may come a time when you resent me for not doing as Malkador ordered.
The woman hesitated, but then pushed her reluctance away.
I will face those challenges with faith and courage.
You reminded me where to find them. In this new role, I will be able to serve my Imperium and my Emperor, my God Emperor, to the very fullest in the days to come.
Her use of the forbidden honorific dismayed him, and he lowered his voice in a warning tone.
You must never speak that name before Lord Malkador or the others. They would not be receptive to it.
In time, perhaps, she countered. But not now.
He sighed.
You will never be able to go home again.
A small price to pay, said Tallery,
and he knew she meant every word.
I never had the chance to thank you for defending me. The Sigillite was correct. I would not have resisted, if my death served a greater good.
Garrow had known that about her from their earliest meeting, but he chose to say nothing of it.
Fate had another path for you, for both of us. You will make a difference here, in the war against the insurrectionists.
She reached up and laid a hand upon his armored gauntlet.
I hope you find the answers you are looking for,
in the words of the saint, or elsewhere. He wanted to share that hope, but despite the warmth in the woman's tone, Garrow felt a darkness creeping across his spirit. The ghosts of emotions he could not fully articulate clouded his mind. This bleak sense of his future had been the spur that sent him looking for Keela, searching her out on Riga and finding nothing. It was as though a hollow bell were ringing in the far distance, and with each peal Nathaniel Garrow was slipping further and further away from it. Tallery saw the haunted look in his eyes.
What's wrong?
There is a shadow out there, Tallery, he told her. A shadow of my future. I can only grasp the edges of it, but I fear that my path is not what I first thought it to be.
The Stormbird's engines rumbled to life, and Garrow stepped away, throwing her one last glance.
I do not know where my destiny lies. I only know that it is not here.
He turned his back on Tallery and strode up the drop ramp.
You must have faith, Nathaniel, she cried out. Remember that.
Her last words were almost lost to him as the thrusters fired and the hatch mechanism wound closed. But his gen-hanced hearing caught the final, faint entreaty on the Titan winds.
The Emperor protects,